Good morning. It's time for the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm.
Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Good morning. I'm J. Marie Schaefer.
And good morning. I'm Dan Glasser.
And this is the Herzog Law Firm Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour, where we answer your questions about wills, trusts, Medicaid, guardianships, and occasionally real estate when we're blessed to have Dan Glasser on the show with us.
Thank you.
Good morning, Dan. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I am doing very well. I just want to let listeners know that you can call in and ask questions at 518-476-5900. So are you recovering from our celebrations yesterday, Dan?
I am. That was a great day. I ate a lot of cookies.
I ate too many cookies. For those listening, we had our office decorating the tree party yesterday, and there were a bunch of contests going on.
Really? So how many cookies Dan could eat? You made a bet on that, right?
Yeah. The over-under was 28.
Not bad.
Whoever took the over won.
Dan, amazingly, just stays tall and skinny no matter how many cookies he eats. That's right.
Lean and mean.
Lean and mean. That's a better way.
I used to be like that until I turned 40.
Yeah.
Sorry, Dan.
Oh, I'm not there yet.
Okay.
Yeah, that's okay.
Oh, my God. The days of being 40, that would be nice. One of our fun contests was the ugliest Christmas sweater contest.
Oh, yeah. That's a famous one. Yeah.
That is a good one.
Yeah.
Although some of them were not ugly. They were quite beautiful.
I know. I thought it's hard to find a really ugly one. I thought they were all kind of cute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brady's with a bunch of cats.
That was the winner.
Yeah.
What was the prize? What did you win?
Wine and chocolate.
That's nice, especially for the holidays. Yeah.
That's right. That's really nice. Yeah, the sweater that won was cats all over in Santa hats, right?
Yes. Yes.
Cute.
Well done, Brady.
Cute.
That's right. Well done. And now our office is decorated.
And looking great.
That's
Speaking of offices, we have several of them.
That's right. We do. We have many locations.
There's Clifton Park, Saratoga, Albany, and Kingston.
Very convenient for all of our clients. A lot of people are happy that we have the Clifton Park office, which was just opened two years ago now, right?
I am one of those people.
Yes, you are. You live in Clifton Park, so it's a short commute for you.
I do.
But for many people who didn't want to drive down to Albany and deal with that traffic, they're just happy to go to Clifton Park.
Mm-hmm. That would be me.
Uh-huh.
Yep. Absolutely.
Don't like that.
Don't want to mess with downtown Albany, no.
Mm-hmm.
Some people don't mind it, but Clifton Park, friendly. Traffic-wise. For the most, well, not always, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I don't think it's too bad. I mean, it's a booming area. I've been there, like, 19 years. And the transformation is just amazing. Like all those restaurants, the mall, the stores, they were not there.
I think they all came and followed you.
They did.
That's
they
great.
Did. Look, Dan's here. He's a big deal. Let's give him some places to eat. You know, there's also some bakeries there. That's where I train to eat as many cookies as I can.
Well, it worked.
Yeah,
right? Yeah.
I'm the champion.
So how are you? Are you decorated at home, Dan?
Not even close. Not even close. We were talking yesterday about when are we going to get our tree, and we're running into an issue with timing because of the kids' work schedule, soccer schedule, gymnastics schedule. It's a busy weekend.
I remember those days. You're traveling to sports things all the time, right?
Yes, and then next weekend, my wife and three of the kids are going to Batavia, which is out near Buffalo, for a gymnastics tournament, so can't get the tree next weekend. And my wife does not want to get the tree right before Christmas.
Ah.
So we're trying to come up with a way to get the tree without feeling rushed.
Yeah, you're going to feel rushed anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, look how close we're getting. It's you know, I know it's only December 3rd, but wow.
It goes quick
it
from
goes quick.
Here on
yeah,
out.
Yeah, sure does.
That's right.
Are you decorated?
We are going to get our tree this weekend.
Okay.
So I don't understand if you have a live tree, how you can do it early, because the live trees don't last that long.
Yeah, but you know, they cut them all at the same time, so the tree you're going to buy this weekend was cut down probably late October.
Oh, did not think
so,
about that.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really matter when we get it in
just
the
make
house.
Sure that the needles stick really good before you buy it.
I do
yep.
shake it.
And you're all set.
Mm-hmm. And someone has to remember to water it, so.
Yeah, that's true.
And we anchor our tree because 1 year it fell.
Do you? We do too because right. we have cat. Our cat knocked it down.
We have cats. I'm sure yeah. Brady has cats too.
Brady looks like he has 20 cats.
Right? Yeah. The little stinkers. They climb on it, and then it fell to the floor, and some things broke, but it just missed the TV.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I held my breath.
I do talk to a lot of other cat owners who have it, you know, ropes around the tree tied, you know, nailed into the wall. Pretty common.
Wow. We don't nail it to the wall, but interesting.
Got to up your game here, Dan.
I do.
Got to up your game.
First got to find some time to get the tree.
That's right. So, speaking of the holidays, I know we always talk about this around the holidays, that it's a good time when you see family members to check in on them. Another thing that's good to do is to kind of ask them about estate planning to see if they have a plan.
And how would one do that, Jaymarie?
Well, it's not easy to do that, right? It's not just... So I have an article that has a suggestion for some questions to ask your parents. And it starts out, "Hey, Dad, how's the game? Oh, do you want to be buried or cremated? And how much money are you leaving me?"
Yeah.
Well, that's not the way to do it, right?
Not what to do.
Do not do that. But it
Use
is...
Use your hat. What's your hurry?
That's right.
Yeah. Wait a minute.
But sometimes if you don't live near your family, these are the few opportunities you have to get into questions like this. And I don't suggest doing it at Christmas dinner, but around the you know, day before, day after that you're visiting with them, it would be good to kind of bring up some of those questions. And, you know, you can bring it up by just saying, one way to do it is, well, I did my own will. Do you have yours? Can you tell me where it is? That's kind of just leading into the conversation. Another question is to ask, who's on your team, right? So I want to know who your lawyer is, who your accountant is, who your financial advisor is, because if something happens, I need to know who to call.
Right.
You know, basically another question is, I don't know if there's any other way to ask it than, you know, do you have your estate planning done? Do you have a will and a power of attorney and a healthcare proxy? And, you know, I don't need to know what's in your will, right? But I just need to know that you have one.
Because if you don't, you should go see the attorneys at the Herzog Law Firm.
That's right.
And get your affairs in order.
That's right. I mean, I talk about this when we do webinars, that 68% of people don't have wills done.
That's a lot.
So let's see in this. Do you have your will done, Dan?
I do.
Do you have your will done?
I'm not answering that.
Oh, no.
We're working on it.
Okay, you're working on it.
Two-thirds.
So, yeah, that's pretty, you're pretty typical, let's put it that way.
Yep.
Some reasons people always say is, I'll get around to it. It's, you know, I'm not going to need it right, you know, in the next...
Sometimes you worry about how much it's going to cost you, too, with the lawyer.
That's true.
That's also a concern.
That's true.
But you guys have free consultation.
Yes, we do. You can come in and talk to us. You know, you can give our office a call.
And you can ask that and you'll tell us.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a free consultation, so you can come in, no pressure. And then we'll, at the end, we'll let you know what our fees are. So, you know, no need not to come in and talk, right? Easy to come in and talk to us. No pressure. People are so nervous when they come in, isn't it?
That's why we have the fish tank.
Ah, that's right. The fish
you
tank.
You walk in, you're relaxed.
Oh, that's one of those Zen fish tanks, right? It's very calming. And
it's beautiful. You have to go to Albany to see it, though.
You do. That's right. Not Clifton Park. Sorry.
No. Oh, no.
We have nice artwork in Clifton Park.
We do. Very nice. Now, I know, like, our clients that come in to see us for estate plans are really nervous. Are they nervous when they talk to you about purchasing real estate, purchasing a home?
They are. They are. A lot of money. Especially the first-time home buyers. They start the conversation with, listen, this is my first time. I'm really nervous. So one of the things that I, you know, pride myself on is I hold hands. I use hand sanitizer, so no one has to be nervous to hold my hand. But guiding those first-time home buyers from start to finish, answering their questions, trying to take a little bit of stress off their shoulders. And, you know, I tell clients I understand that it's stressful, but at the same time, some of this should be fun.
That's right.
You know, like, enjoy this, because you don't do it that often. You know, like, well, I think they say people move every six or seven times in their lifetime.
In their lifetime. Oh, okay.
We're on number one.
Against those odds.
Yeah. We go against the grain, January.
Yes. Yeah. That's right. Well, you knew you were going to have many children, so you bought the right house.
Right.
In the beginning, right?
Yep, they all share a room.
So, yeah, buying a house is really nerve-wracking. So, and many people just are nervous because they don't know the process.
Right.
So what do you tell them about the process, Dan?
Well, so the initial phone call is what we call attorney review, where I go through the contract from start to finish. In this area, there's a standard MLS contract. It's 24 paragraphs. And I explain to clients what each paragraph means, and I think more importantly, what it doesn't mean. So, for example, the closing date.
That's a big one.
This
right?
causes a lot of stress for me and everyone involved. Is, you know, the language in the paperwork says your closing will be on or before, which it doesn't mean. So it's certainly possible the closing could be after the date that's in the contract. You know, I've gotten contracts recently where the on or about closing date is like December 27th.
That's not going to happen.
Well, it's not likely.
Not likely, I should say.
If, you know, some of them are cash transactions, so there's no mortgage involved. But obviously with the holidays, schedules get really difficult. So I just make the client aware, hey, you know, we'll do everything we can to make this happen by the 27th, but just be aware, it's possible this could go into 2023. So don't give notice to your landlord. Don't, you know, hire movers, any of that sort of thing. And I do that so that the client isn't upset later on, and that they know, okay, this is just a target date. I tell clients it's a pregnancy due date.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Who knows?
That's right. Yeah.
It could be before, it could be on, it could be after.
It's usually not on, right?
One of ours was.
One? Really? Yeah. Wow. That's doesn't happen that much, though.
No. The others were either early or late.
Right. So in real estate, you have to make plans that if it goes beyond that date, you have somewhere to live.
Right.
Or somewhere to put your stuff.
Yeah, what I tell clients is, there are things here that you and I have no control over.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's the seller's schedule look like? What's the title company's schedule? The other attorney? I don't know. You know, once we're ready to schedule, then we can try to line everything up. But it's setting expectations early on to avoid drama and surprises. You know, drama and surprises, they're so much fun if you're in high school.
I like that.
This is not high school.
No, we don't need that.
We have enough. So, obviously, I do everything I can to avoid, having clients that are stressed out.
Well, one thing you really can't control is the bank, right?
Well, you're right. There are certain things you and the client can do to keep things moving. So your bank might ask you for updated pay stubs or tax returns. Get it to them as soon as you can.
Mm-hmm.
And follow up in writing. Hey, did you get that paperwork? Because sometimes the lender might misplace it.
Right.
And think you never sent it, which could cause some delays.
And we're all busy. You said you are. And maybe we don't get back to them right away. And people's lives are busy. But if you want this to move forward, you have to do your part also.
Right. Right. And like you said, we're all busy. So sometimes, I'll call the other attorney for information or I'll email them and I won't hear back for a day.
Right.
Which happens.
Right.
I'm not their only, file. I just think we live in a world where people want their answers.
Right away.
I'm snapping my fingers, but nobody can see me except you.
So. What about inspections? Do they hold up the process?
They can, yes. It's actually one of the items in the contract that I would say causes the most delays. So when we were going through this crazy period of time where people were paying $50,000 over asking multiple offers, to get your foot in the door, a lot of potential buyers would waive inspections, which is not a good idea.
Not a good idea.
Because you might get the house and then discover 6 months later there's a problem with the foundation or the roof.
Right.
That had you done the inspection, you could have gotten some type of credit or maybe realize with everything that's wrong with the house, maybe this isn't the right house for you. So that's what people would do. They'd waive it. They'd also raise the threshold. So the minimum threshold is $1,500. So if there's a single item that's $1,500, the buyer has the right to back out or renegotiate the price. Some buyers would up that threshold to like $3,000 or $5,000.
So they would only...
Right.
If it's a big problem, then they're going to ask for help. But if it's a small thing, they're going to do it themselves.
Right. Yeah, you'd have to take, for example, the roof. A new roof can cost anywhere from $5,000 to $10,000.
Right.
If you want, and a foundation, forget about it. You're talking $25,000 or more.
Right.
And then, so that's serious stuff.
Mold is a big one.
Sure is.
Mold remediation.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So when we're doing inspections, we get the reports. It takes time to get estimates and figure out what buyers want to do, what sellers are willing to do. Some sellers are like, take it or leave it.
Right.
I'm not doing a thing, which I don't understand, because if the deal tanks, they're going to have to disclose it to future buyers.
Oh, that's interesting.
Or I should say they should.
They should, right.
They're actually required to. And if there are realtors involved, they're required to disclose it as well. So at some point, that issue, call it mold, is going to have to be dealt with. And by the way, if there's mold and the seller knows about it, I think it's in their best interest to fix it.
Right.
Especially if they're still living there.
Oh, true. That's right.
You don't want to breathe that in.
No. So, yeah, that can cause a lot of delays. And it's, like you said, only recently where the market was so hot that people were just buying it without any knowledge, which is crazy.
I had some clients put contract or offers in on homes that they never saw, except a picture on the internet.
Wow.
And they would do, and then there was that. There was some where the realtor would, they would FaceTime.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would walk through
and
the house.
And they would walk them through the house.
Yeah. Wow.
I couldn't imagine buying a house sight unseen.
I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
You have to picture yourself in the home and,
and your stuff. And,
right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And things look sometimes better in pictures than they do in real life.
Yeah.
Yes.
These photographers are very talented.
Mm-hmm. That's what they do. And make them make it look good.
Right. That's why I love having my picture taken.
That's right, because it comes to make you look good.
Right. As good as I look, I look even better.
Yeah, we had friends who, during COVID, they bought a house in Florida because their kids were there and their grandkids were there. And they bought it, you know, sight unseen. Although it was a little bit better because their kids lived nearby. So they walked through the house and sent them pictures.
Okay.
So it wasn't completely unseen.
Yeah.
But they did the whole transaction remotely from, you know, buying the house here and using the agent in Florida.
Wow.
Which is, you know, risky, but like I said, in that case, their children did walk through it. You know, if you didn't have anyone there to walk through it, I would hesitate, especially in a whole different state.
Yeah, you could be in for a lot of big surprises.
Yeah, there could be a leak in the ceiling that I discovered in my kitchen this morning.
Oh, no.
Not a good morning. So when you're FaceTiming with the realtor, let's say, they're showing you eye level. They're not going up to the ceiling. They're not going down to the floor. You also have no idea if the floor is level.
That's right.
You know, if it's an older home, it settles. Imagine buying a house sight unseen, and then you move in, and it's like, I'm rolling toward the dining room.
Right.
Yep, and that could be a serious foundation issue.
Right.
And that's a lot of money.
A lot of money.
Yep.
And by the way, there's no way to back out at that point.
Yeah, no, that's right. Not at that point.
I did have, this is years ago, a client asked, so after the closing, I have 3 days to change my mind. And I said, no.
Yeah, where'd they get that from? That's strange.
There's a law, I think it's about, like I used to sell cutlery.
Interesting.
Yeah.
You have many past jobs.
if they signed the contract, they'd have 3 days. Well, it's kind of like the refinance.
Oh, right.
Right? The 3-day right of rescission. Mm-hmm. So that's where it stemmed from.
I don't know if everyone knows what that is. Yeah.
So after you refinance, you've got 3 days to just change your mind for no reason whatsoever. So, you know, if you wake up the next day and you're like, what did I just do?
Right.
I should not have done that. Which is rare, because usually most people refinance to get that lower rate, get some cash.
Mm-hmm.
But they do have 3 days to rescind or change their mind. That, of course, does not apply to all contracts.
Right, that's just a refinance or home equity.
Right.
That would be strange if you could buy a house and then change your mind 3 days later.
It would be. It would be. I've had sellers ask, can I stay at the house after closing? No, of course.
No, you have to get out, right?
Unless you're really good friends with the buyer and you all want to live together. But no, I mean, there are situations where a seller, for whatever reason, can't get out before the closing because there's like a hiccup with movers or something, or they need a bit of extra time to get their stuff out. In those cases, we can write up an agreement.
Mm-hmm.
I advise against them, but sometimes they're just necessary because they have insurance and liability concerns that tie into it. But we do whatever it takes to make sellers and buyers happy.
But yeah, I've seen it both ways. It's nice when the buyer and seller are accommodating to each other. I mean, I've seen it also where the buyer has to get out quickly. Maybe the seller's already moved out, right? The opposite.
Right.
And maybe the buyer can move in early.
Yeah, sometimes it does happen. Or you want to get in a little early to clean before you move in.
That's right.
And sometimes you get a seller that's very nice about that and say, yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm gone anyway, so, you know, here you go.
Right.
And those transactions are so much fun when you're at the table, everyone's laughing and getting
along. Oh, that's great.
Right. Versus
a good closing. Yeah,
we're in separate rooms.
Yeah. Yes,
not because of COVID, because we're, you know, quote unquote fighting, and just can't see eye to eye, and or maybe the transaction didn't go well. Some sellers get offended because of inspections.
I'll tell a funny story, and this was what started my rule of never do legal work for relatives.
Oh, let's hear it.
So my in-laws were buying a co-op in the city. So we were living in the city then. I'm like, okay, I'll do the closing for you. Oh, my God. it was a whole long process, but the last straw was, you know, how you have to do the walkthrough inspection right before you close.
Right.
So they did the walkthrough that morning. We go to the, you know, attorney's office to do the closing. And she was upset because it wasn't broom clean.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and, you know, maybe they, and it wasn't like awful. It just needed to be cleaned a little bit. She was going to walk out of the closing over that.
Oh.
They were going to lose the deal because of that. So we had to go back and forth, you know, almost the closed room thing, back and forth between the brokers and the attorneys to agree to a credit, finally, for...
Of what, a few hundred?
It was like a few hundred dollars, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Of course,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So much stress for that. I'm like, I'll vacuum it for you when we get there. It's okay. No,
yeah.
No. They were supposed to do that, and they did not present a broom clean, so I'm not buying it.
Well, I had an issue years ago with snow. So in the contract, there's language that you've got to maintain, like, the yard.
Mm-hmm.
So either lawn mowing, raking leaves, snow removal. Before the closing, or the day before the closing, we had, I'd call it maybe an inch of snow, if that. And they pumped the brakes on the closing because the driveway was white. And we did the same thing. We went back and forth. We left the room.
Right.
And talked to him outside.
Boy, you know. And usually it's usually 2 inches before anybody will come and plow.
Right.
That's
so,
right.
You know, you'd have to do it by hand.
So we got to a point where I'm just like, look, if we don't fix this, I will go.
You'll go and shovel it, right?
Shovel. It's in Clifton Park. It's around the corner.
Right.
But the same thing. We worked out a credit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the grand scheme of things, everyone has spent so much time and money to get to this point, and to throw it away
over a
dusting of snow is just silly.
Yeah, that's incredibly silly.
I think everyone just needs to take a deep breath.
That's right.
You know,
people are caught up in their emotions at somehow.
Yeah, I took Lamaze before our kids were born.
Well, your wife took Lamaze.
Well, I took it with her.
Okay, right.
I'm her coach.
Oh, you got to hold that story, Dan, because it's break time.
All right.
That's right, and we'll be right back with the Herzog Law Firm Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour.
You've been listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm. Join us every week to learn more about protecting the assets you've worked hard for, options available for Medicaid planning, and more. With offices located in Corporate Woods in Albany, West Harrison Street in Saratoga Springs, Executive Woods in Clifton Park, and 130 North Front Street in Kingston. Our attorneys are here to help you. If you'd like to schedule an appointment to speak with David, Jane Marie, or Harry, please call us during normal business hours, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. To contact us at our Albany office, call 518-465-7581. Our Saratoga Springs office, 518-581-8131. Our Clifton Park office at 518-952-4010. And our Kingston office at 845-338-6405. Let the Herzog Law Firm help navigate a plan that works for you and your family. Now back to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm.
And welcome back. I'm Jane Marie Schaefer.
And I'm Dan Glasser.
And this is the Herzog Law Firm Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour, where we talk about estate planning, wills, trusts, Medicaid, guardianships, and real estate, when we're lucky enough to have Dan Glasser with us.
You're very lucky. Very lucky today.
Very lucky.
And Dan was telling a story before we took the break. And
We were on the edge of our seats.
We were, yeah.
Tell.
That's right. It was about Lamaze, right?
Yes.
That's it, yeah.
So I was saying I took Lamaze class with my wife back in 2005, and I still use those techniques today. You know, at stressful closings, everyone just needs to take a breath.
That's right.
That's right. Good job.
You need to calm down, right?
Yeah, it's a Taylor song. Nicely done.
I was not aware of that, but thank you.
Yes.
So that, yeah, no, that's great. Things are very stressful in real estate transactions, you know, with lawyers too, a lot of, with estate planning. They, like I said, they come in to see us and they're really nervous and anxious because, you know, you're talking about unpleasant things,
right?
When you're coming in for an estate plan. But I would say most people, after we get this done, they feel a good sense of relief that they've accomplished it. So it's hard to talk about, but you get it done and you can really now relax and knock that off your list.
Right, right. So going back to what we talked about at the top of the hour.
Yes.
Radio lingo.
Yeah.
Talking to your parents around
yes.
the holidays.
That's right.
So I think what some kids will call them fear is, well, I only see my parents maybe once or twice a year. And I think that bringing this up will upset them because finances can do that to people. Mm. And they might think, oh, great. They think I'm going to die tomorrow and they want all my money.
Right, right.
So what would you suggest as a counter to that?
I would say, yeah, I mean, you're not really, I mean, maybe say that I'm not looking to know how much money you have, right? Or I don't even want to know who you're giving the money to. I mean, you're hoping it's you and your brother or sister, right?
Right.
Please.
But I would approach it more that if there's an emergency and we need to help you out, I need to know this information, right?
Right.
I need to know if you have a power of attorney, you know, who it is, where it is, how can we get that? Where are your bank accounts? Besides your estate planning and getting all your documents in place, second most important is to make a list of all of your financial information. That's really important because we see so many clients, if there's someone goes into a nursing home or after someone passes away and they don't know any of the financial accounts, you know, they don't even know where the bank is. And we have to help them find out where all this stuff is so they can start to take care of things, start to pay bills, you know, start to collect all the assets.
Okay. And as far as a power of attorney, is it a good idea to have, let's say, someone's son be the POA, even though they live on the other side of the country, versus a friend that might live...
It's a good question.
Next door.
Yeah, that's a great question. I get that all the time. I would say 20 years ago, I would have given and I was in practice 20 years ago, but I would have given a different answer because that really is pre-internet 20 years ago, right? Yeah, pretty much. I don't know, or 25.
Mid-90s, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, of course, now with the internet, you can do banking online. So if you give your son who's in California the power of attorney, and they get it to the bank, right? And the bank puts them on the account. You can log on and do all those transactions. So it's tough. You can do a lot of things remotely. But there are, you know, maybe for the healthcare proxy, who's the person who's going to have to drive you to the doctor's appointments and talk to the doctors, you know, you need someone close by and on the ground to do that. You know, but power of attorney, at least as far as banking transactions, I don't think it has to be the one who's close by.
Okay.
Yeah. I think it's more important to have it be the person that you trust.
Good idea.
That's right. Well, or not just trust, we'll also talk with clients, we'll go through which child is better at finances, which child is better at healthcare, you know, because sometimes they're very different. I mean, you know, your children, they're all very different.
They are.
Do you know now who you would want to be the one to take care of you when you're older?
Oh, gosh. You know, sometimes I tell the kids before I come to the show to listen.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
Oh, so we don't want to call them out right now.
I can't answer that right now.
Okay, I got it. But in your head, you probably know. Right?
I do. I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure, actually. Both of my kids said they're going to put me in a nursing home. So.
Uh-oh.
Well, they're just...
Just like that, they made no bones about it.
Bye. No bones about it. They're like, nope.
Oh, my goodness.
They threaten to do that now whenever I forget something.
Right.
Yeah, I forgot a word here and there. So they're like, oh, yeah, you're done. Yeah. You're done. We're locking you up.
Treat mom with respect, will you?
Absolutely. If you have any questions, you can give us a call. It's 518-476-5900. Call in with any estate planning questions. Now's your chance to get a real estate question in. We're happy to take your questions. Or if you want to call us during the week with questions or to set up an appointment, our office number is 518-465-7581.
Yes.
I almost lost it there, but
yes.
Memory.
Right.
Sound like my sons, right?
I'm sorry.
So it is the gift-giving season.
January, yes, it is. That's right.
If anyone has any questions, concerns about gifting money to a trust or something, what would you say?
Yeah, this is really a good time of year to make some gifts. And, you know, gifting to a trust is going to be good because it's going to, well, if it's an irrevocable trust, it's going to protect your assets. Right, whatever you gift in the trust is going to be saved and protected in the future. So, and I will hold on a second before we finish that thought.
Okay.
As we do have a caller coming in, and we have Leo from East Greenbush.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. I've been listening to your show, and it's very interesting.
Thank you.
I have a question.
Yes.
So it relates to probate.
Okay.
And if there's only a little bit of assets,
mm-hmm.
My question is, and I'll elaborate on this, but my question is, does it really have to go to probate, or mm-hmm. is there a different way? For example, if the only assets left are things in the house
mm-hmm.
or possibly a car,
mm-hmm.
Minor, very minor amounts in the bank, those mm-hmm. kinds of things.
Yeah, that's a great question. And, you know, basically the short answer is no, you don't have to go to probate. There's ways to avoid probate if it's relatively small.
Mm-hmm.
You know, generally, in terms of the household contents, you don't really need to be appointed as the executor to take the household contents, right? No one's really going to ask you for proof, you know, unless we're talking about something that was, you know, has a title to it, right? So the car, for example. Now, the car is an exception to the probate rule because the Department of Motor Vehicles lets you transfer one car up to the value of $25,000 to an immediate family member without going to court. It's really just a form you need to fill out with DMV. So that's easy for the car. And then for bank accounts, if it's under... Again, $25,000, you can just do a simple affidavit to present to the bank that says that you're the surviving either, you know, spouse or child, and you can get that transferred to you without having to go to court.
Would you say that amount, is that $25,000
or $2,500?
Oh, $25,000. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So you can, actually do rather small bank accounts without having to go to court. If you do have to go to court, even in the court, there's a small estate probate, and then there's a normal probate. The small estate is up to $50,000, and it's a simplified proceeding. So they do make it easier.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
It's only as things get larger, then you have to do the full probate.
Oh, okay. All right. Mm-hmm. So in a regular, Herzog would know that. Mm-hmm. And that's sort of a routine, would you say, that's basic kind of information?
I would say it is, but I would say the other way to really ensure that is to make sure that you don't have to worry about those dollar amounts, for example, is to put a beneficiary on your bank account.
Okay.
And you can do that to any bank account. You know, different banks may call it a ITF, which means in trust for, or a POD, which is payable on death. But basically, you can add a beneficiary onto your bank account, and you're going to avoid probate that way. And that's going to be certain. That's, you know, definitely going to take you out of probate.
How about life insurance? Same thing?
Same thing. You want to make sure you have a beneficiary on your life insurance, and that's going to avoid probate. The other, you know, then back to the bank account or the life insurance, I would put a backup beneficiary on there too, right? Because what if something happens to your first beneficiary? So if you have a primary and then a secondary beneficiary, you're going to ensure that you can avoid probate.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, you've given me some good advice and made me less concerned about this.
Oh, great, great. I'm glad we could help. Don't want people to worry about estate planning.
No stress.
Yeah, right.
That's right.
It's a very good program. We're glad you do this.
Oh, great.
Glad you do this. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
A possibility for consideration is to use a time schedule to give out your telephone number, maybe every 15 minutes or something like that.
Absolutely. You know. We'll consider. Yeah, that's a great thing to do.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. We have another caller on the line I want to get to, but thanks for calling in. And good morning. We have Beth from Albany.
Yes. Good morning, Jean Marie.
Good morning.
Good morning. I have some cash in a trust, and I would like to use it to go back to school, take a course, or to towards a degree program.
Excellent.
Will taking that out of my trust affect the look back period? Because my house is in there also, along with some cash.
No, it won't. To take money out of the trust, you have to do something called a partial revocation of trust. And it's a form, basically, that has to be signed by you, your trustee, and all the beneficiaries of the trust. And once that's signed, and in that partial revocation, you're going to specify the dollar amount. So that gets signed. You take out that money. The money that remains in the trust is protected, and the house is protected. Doesn't change the look back period. You know, of course, whatever you take out is unprotected now, but you're going to spend it. So that's not a problem.
Okay. But I'm way past the look back anyhow. It's been more than 5 years, but that doesn't affect it.
Nope, that doesn't affect it. Nope, you can take some money out and everything else is safe.
Very good. Thank you.
You're welcome. I was going to, if Beth, you're still listening, I think that's wonderful that you're going back to school and learning and, you know, keeping your mind active. That's fantastic.
Good stuff.
I had one of my cousins when we were growing up. He had been a social worker most of his, you know, working life, and he had always wanted to be a lawyer. And when he retired in his 60s, he went to law school, which was impressive.
Very cool.
I don't know that I would have done law school in my 60s, but he was really interested in doing it and took the time and devoted himself to do it.
When you have a passion for something, why not?
Why not, right? Yeah. You know, people are living longer. They're doing more things that they're interested in than you can do without those in retirement.
Right. So before we took those calls, I'm still on the edge of my seat.
That's
we were talking
right.
About gifting money to trusts.
Yes, that's right. So when you have a trust that you set up, you don't have to put everything in at once, right? Some people do things over time. When you set up the trust, a lot of our clients put their house in the trust.
Okay.
But then if you have money, you may not be ready to put some of your cash or securities or whatever, mutual funds in the trust when you set it up because you're still spending, you're still using that money. However, I find that as our clients get older, they may realize they don't need so much money outside the trust. So it's a good time to reevaluate every couple of years and see, and maybe I need to add some more money to the trust to protect it. And you can do that anytime. You don't have to, you know, do it when you set up the trust. And I do see we have another caller. So we have Diana from Albany. Good morning, Diana.
Good morning.
How can we help you?
I have a question about medical directive for emergencies.
Okay.
And I was wondering what I need to have on the list.
Oh, okay. Well, you mean so having a healthcare proxy?
I still have one, yes.
Yes. And do
but
you
I don't know what I need on the list.
So on what list, I guess I'm asking?
The one you're supposed to leave for the emergency crew.
Oh, okay, right. I would, you know, a lot of people put this on their refrigerator. I've seen this. I would have
That's
on
what
them.
I'm going to do.
Okay. And I would have your healthcare proxy and your living will. I would leave that there for them to access. And I would check the healthcare proxy to make sure that the contact information is up to date for the people
right.
you've listed in the healthcare proxy. You know,
right.
especially phone numbers. That's what you're going to want so that they can contact or call those people.
Right.
Right, to get them in touch so they can help take care of things.
Right. Anything else?
I don't think anything other than a health, you know, the people on the healthcare proxy list. I mean,
do you need a list of your prescriptions?
Yes, you do. Right. Yes. You need a list of prescriptions.
I've already, you know, detailed it, but I wanted to make sure I was doing it properly.
And you should keep a list with you all the time of your scripts.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, I do.
Good. That's good.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah. And any drug allergies also.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay.
That's it.
I think those are the most important things that people would need to know in an emergency. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, longer term, you know, your power of attorney would have to get contacted and they have to
right.
know, like, your bank account and how to pay your bills. But
right.
for a medical emergency, I think it's, yeah, who to contact, the medications, your drug allergies.
Well, I have a co-signer on my check, so she could write the checks, couldn't she?
Yeah, so you have a joint bank account?
Yes.
Yes, so that person could get into that bank account even without the power of attorney. Yeah.
Right, that's what I thought. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right, you've answered my questions.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Really, some good calls here. If you have any questions, you can give us a call at 518-476-5900.
Okay, hold on.
Okay, so we're pretty busy this half hour with calls.
So how often should one have their estate documents updated / reviewed?
So we say every... At a minimum, every 5 years. Or if there's a major life change.
Right. Baby.
Baby, you know, divorce, health change. Right, that's the time to look at those. Okay, and we have another caller. We have George in Rotterdam. Good afternoon. Good morning. Oh, my gosh.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. We're a longtime client of Herzog, but one thing I want to point out, the one lady was talking about going back to college or back to school.
Yes.
In our case, Schenectady Connects, which is like Schenectady Job Training Agency,
mm-hmm.
they offer funding for anyone who's earning $18 or less an hour,
mm-hmm.
or unemployed. So mm-hmm. she may have, mm-hmm. I'll say, grants available. So
that's
she doesn't
great.
Even have to, you know, pull any monies out of such.
That's good information that, yeah, she should research something like that. I don't know, you know. If she's,
yeah, they call it Schenectady Connects now.
Schenectady Connects, and you can get free grants for training for different jobs.
Yeah, I mean, you know, whether, you know, you want some help or a lot of help, they can help in different ways. And, you know, I'm a teacher in the Schenectady mm-hmm. School District. I teach an adult ed program for construction.
Oh, okay.
And it's all free.
Right.
Anyone wants it. But in that program, I have sometimes there's someone who wants an extra certification. And they can go right to Schenectady Connects or Schenectady Job Training Agency, mm-hmm. and they'll help you with things like that. So it does pay off. But we really appreciate you guys, and thank you so much for the information you share every day.
Okay, great. Thank you. Thanks for being a listener.
Thank you.
Okay.
Oh, we have another.
And we have another caller. We have Everett in Queensbury.
Hello.
Hello. Good morning. How are you?
Good. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I'm going through a divorce right now.
Sorry.
And it's very friendly.
Okay.
And I'm trying to figure out what's the sole purpose of the refinance to get her name off the deed.
Okay.
So the refinance would be to take one of your names off of the mortgage?
Right. Why do I have, with the interest rate as high as it is now, I've never missed a payment or anything, and I just want to, she just wants her name off the deed.
Right. In order to take her name off of the deed, she'd have to come off the mortgage as well.
Right.
You could try to reach out to your lender to see if they would do some type of modification so that you don't have to have your rate. I don't know what your rate is, but they were obviously lower many years.
The rate is 3.25, and now it's 7.6.
Right, so it's more than double. So I think you should reach out to your lender to see if there are any like modification options.
Okay. Because somebody at the county level told me to get a quick claim deed, but for some reason it doesn't. That's for somebody that's mortgage is already paid, correct?
Right, so the quick claim deed wouldn't take your, soon to be ex off of the mortgage, though. So that's the issue here.
Okay.
Yeah, the deed would just take her off the title, so, yeah.
Right, that's all. Mm-hmm. She's just worried about something happening down the road of
being
liable.
Still on the mortgage.
Right.
Yeah, but I've never missed a payment, mm-hmm. or we never missed a payment, and we get along really good and everything, mm-hmm. and she just feels bad that I have to refinance just to get her name off.
Yeah, I think, like Dan said, I would try and work with your lender to explain that and... loan modifications aren't as common as they used to, but maybe they could do that in this case, for you.
Right. You never know without asking.
Okay. Well, I appreciate it very much, and I hope you have a nice day.
Thank you. You too, Everett.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Wow. Timing is everything, right?
It is. That's what they say.
That's right. I mean, mortgage interest rates, we were spoiled for a while, I think, with the low threes, right?
We were spoiled. They were in the twos at one point.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd have clients that are like, I don't want to lock yet because I think they're going to go lower.
Oh, no.
This is when they were in, upper twos. I'm like,
no, lock now.
Yeah. don't be greedy, right?
So, right.
Right. That's as low.
Lock it in.
Right. Well, and that's kind of a... Eventually, or I don't know if you've seen it, is it slowing down real estate a little bit, the high interest rates?
It does usually slow down around this time of year, around the holidays. but I don't think the rates have as much of an impact as people say.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you want a house.
You have to buy a house.
You'll find a way to get it.
Right.
Now, maybe because of the interest rates, the dollar doesn't go as far.
True.
But so the house, instead of 2,500 square feet, maybe it's 2,200.
Right. You don't need as much room as...
Right. Maybe you don't get a pool.
Right. Unless you have six or more children, then maybe you do need...
Well, then you go to your brother-in-law and sister-in-law's house for their pool.
That's right.
Thanks, guys.
I just can't imagine Christmas shopping hold on. Do you have any little ones who still believe in Santa?
We do.
Oh, okay.
Do.
Never mind then. Okay.
We do.
And if they're listening, never mind. Okay.
Yeah. He is at soccer.
Okay.
About to start his game in a few minutes.
Okay, good. I was just, well, Santa must be really busy in your house. You know?
He is.
He's busy all over. And even Santa was telling me the other day that he's having trouble getting some supplies. So,
That's right.
He'll get it done in time, but, you know, with the way things have been going.
I know, the supply chain.
The reality of the situation. But, he was a little worried there for with the supply chain and getting what he needs.
That's right. Well, he can just fly there on his magic sleigh and get what he needs, right?
Yeah, well, some stuff he does have to order.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, and it has to be shipped to him, so.
Even Santa has to use Amazon.
Yeah, that's right. I guess he does, yeah.
I guess so. That's right. Well,
any traditions that you have at your house as we have a...
Yeah, I was looking. I don't really think we have time for another call, so I won't give out the number, but I'll give out our office number, which is 518-465-7581. If you then get a chance to ask your question in, you can give us a call during the week. And we'll be happy to either set up an appointment or answer your question or do an email, whatever. You can also email us at info@herzoglaw.com. And, we answer a lot of questions that way. So we have, our tradition, we do have a lot of people over for Christmas, kind of friends and family. And the tradition that I really like is all the kids line up in front of the tree and we take a picture. And it's really great to see that over the years.
Right. Now the kids are bigger than the tree.
Yeah, they are. Now some of the parents are smaller than the kids,
right.
Which is pretty bad. It's just, I was thinking of that this week when I was driving and I wanted to get out some of the earlier ones just to like have them around this Christmas to look at. I mean, going back to when they were babies.
Some of, I think 4 of our kids have passed my wife in height.
Oh, funny. That's great. Well, have a wonderful weekend, everyone.
Have a great weekend.
Thank you for listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm. For more information on their services, please visit herzoglaw.com. If you'd like to speak with one of their attorneys, please contact the Albany office at 518-465-7581, the Saratoga office at 518-581-8131, or their Kingston office at 845-338-6405.